Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
It's now time for ENN.
This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
That's right, ENN, no Peter Rosenberg. However, Alex Lee trying to fit in some big shoes with Peter, Alex. So I'm thrilled you took on the challenge. Love having you on, girl.
You said it. Hey, I'm so happy to join you. But yeah, just to get the elephant or address the elephant in the room, these are some big shoes for me to fill tonight. So,
and I have the utmost confidence you can. But I do have to preface. I'm obviously coming to you live from the living room of my apartment, and I know you follow me on social media, so you know that I have a plethora of dogs. So at some point in time, one or two or five might bark. So
honestly, Anita, if that happens, it'll be the best thing that's happened to me today.
So just roll with the punches, my friend.
I no welcome it. I welcome all the dogs into the show.
All right. So let's get started. What do you have up first?
What I have up first is Eli Manning gracing us with his presence on Twitter. Pretty exciting stuff. So he joined Twitter yesterday, and I mean, it's been quite entertaining between the fire tweets, people jabbing at him, the Brady tweets, Sean O'Hara, to name a few. But then his first tweet coming in strong with the quote from Hoosiers, the 1986 basketball film. Did you see that?
Did see Hoosiers. Yes, I did. Such a great sports flick.
Yeah. The tweet that he put out there, I want to just scroll down to it so I can read it. It was great. He said, to paraphrase Jimmy Chitwood, quote, I don't know if it'll make any change, but I figure it's time for me to start playing social media.
There we go.
So that was Eli's grand entrance to Twitter.
I was a part of the Giants broadcast team for several years. And so I got to see Eli on at least 3 or 4 days a week. And, you know, it's interesting to me because I'd be playing golf somewhere and the first thing somebody would say is, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm in sports broadcasting. Who do you work for? I work for, you know, ESPN and the Giants. The Giants, what's Eli Manning like? And I always, because everybody has this assumption they just make this assumption about who he is or what his personality is like because of how he is on the football field and how he is on the sidelines. You see all those funny memes and whatnot and his funny faces he makes. He's very even keel. This is what makes him such a great athlete, Alex, right? Like such a great quarterback.
I agree.
Is like there's not too many highs and not too many lows, but off the football field, he's a character. He's like,
oh my gosh.
You know, he's stealing everybody's phones. He's changing from English to Spanish. He's hiding stuff. He's putting people's, you know, jocks in freezers. He's just, he's this big, fun guy that like all the teammates like, and he's fun to be around and he's cool to be around. But it's interesting to me because the fans never really got a taste of that, right?
You're right. You definitely did not see that played out, you know, on what we saw of him on TV at the game. So for him to join Twitter, it's like his personality is shining through. And I have to say, as an Eagles fan, I'm here for it, though. I'm here for Eli Manning on Twitter. I honestly read through every single one, and I was laughing out loud sitting on my account. They're great. I love it. I hope he stays. I know he was on or he got on Twitter as a part of like a partnership, I believe, with the Hot Sauce to promote yesterday's tournament. But I hope that he is here to stay because this is the kind of content I need during
this time. Here's the thing. It reminds me. Remember when Eli did SNL?
Yes.
And everybody was like, oh, this is going to be a train wreck. He's going to be horrible. Oh, Lord. And then he crushed it.
Nope. Nope. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like this, that, yeah. This, so I kind of see this, like, okay, Eli's, not only is Eli on social media, and you're right, like, hopefully this just wasn't like, you know, for hot sauce. Like, hopefully he stays. I think he's gonna be a really good, you know how some people are like really good follows? Like, they're
God.
Clever and they're really funny and you're constantly retweeting them.
He's the best. Yes, exactly. There are people who I'm going onto Instagram or Twitter every day just to see what they're posting, and Gordon Damer has to be one of them. I absolutely love his content. He's, and especially when they're, you know, they're not constantly tweeting, but when they do, it's gold. And you like look forward to seeing this every day.
Really quick before you move on to your next topic, at one point in time during the match yesterday, and Eli was tweeting, he said that he was contemplating if the rain delay was going to continue, that he was going to get on TikTok. So I'm on TikTok.
I am
fascinated. I am fascinated with TikTok. Here's the thing. I can't go. If I get on it, like, I'll be laying in bed at like midnight.
Oh my
God.
I know where you're going
before
with this.
Before I know it, it's 3 a.m., Alex.
Anita, this is my life.
What is wrong with us?
I don't post anything, but I go in there and you go down a rabbit hole. Same thing. It's like, you know, 11 o'clock, I'm getting in bed, I'm all ready to go to sleep. Oh, let me just go onto TikTok and see the funny animal videos or whatever, people doing the voiceovers.
Well, that's what I've done. So I actually, I want to say I have about 10, I want to say I have like 10 or 12 videos that I've posted to TikTok. And the majority of them are my animals. They're all my dogs. So,
anyway. Oh my God. I'm literally going to go look at it after this. That's great. This is great. I love it. I'm here for all the animal. That's really why I'm on. I love the voiceovers with the animals and the babies. It's just, oh my gosh, it's the best comic relief right now for sure. So to segue though, since we've already touched on it a little bit, the next thing I want to talk about is the match two. And the big victory, I watched bits and pieces. I have to be straightforward with you right now.
Uh-oh.
And I know you are a huge golfer and,
addicted.
So don't kill me for saying this, but I'm really not a golf fan. I'm on the Don LaGreca train with the whole golf is garbage thing.
Okay, let's end the segment. We're going to end the segment right here.
I know, I'm kicking you off. No, but I do have to say it was entertaining. And that's like a big
thank you. This is what I opened the show with today, Alex. This is what I opened the show with today. This is what the stuffy, bougie golf. Get out of here with it. Like, I love the fact that they're wearing shorts. Take your collared shirt and shove them where the sun doesn't shine. Put these guys in carts. Have them carry their bag. Mic them up. Talk smack.
Oh, the miking up was the best thing they could have done. It was the best thing they could have done. It was hysterical.
Like from last week, you probably didn't watch. I'm assuming you didn't watch last week with Ricky Fowler and Rory. But from last week and this week, like golf. It's fun for me to watch just because I'm addicted to it.
But
going beyond that and the entertainment value from like even my friends who could care less about golf, don't watch golf, don't play golf. It was fun for them to watch. And so, and I kind of opened the show like, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Life as we know it has come to a complete halt. We've had to make a right. Some of us have had to make a left. And you know what? We have an opportunity to do things different again. Change it up a little bit. I hope the PGA Tour looks at what has taken place the last 2 weeks and implements some of this and changes its rules. I feel they need
it's
to
so
change
funny
so
you
they
say
can get,
that. Did you read,
can get people like you and Don.
Yeah. Yeah, turn us. Now, did you see the article in Sports Illustrated from today about it's pretty much everything you just said. But they said, this is a quote, I just want to read it because this is what got me. This is like kind of how I'm feeling about the whole thing. They said, this was not just quirky and entertaining. It was a surprising reminder of how much fun sports are supposed to be. These guys cared about winning enough, but not too much. They teased each other, but not too much. They were relaxed. They raised 8 figures for charity, which, of course, is the best part of what happened. But for viewers, it was compelling television for the strangest of reasons. This was, in a weird way, a better advertisement for golf than most PGA Tour events, I think hit the nail on the head.
Love it. And
it was hysterical. And it came at the best time, honestly. People were hungry for televised sporting events. Real time, I should say, because, you know, they're doing all the replays and Yankees Classic.
Starving, Alex.
But beyond,
salivating.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely. And I think
degenerate golfer, but degenerate gamblers over here. I think I wagered on every hole.
I was just going to ask you if you did. I know my boyfriend's like, oh, I'm betting on this. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, people are just dying to get their hands on some live sports. And so the PGA had an opportunity, and the NFL, I guess. And I think they nailed it. They made the most of the opportunity they were given. Let alone they raised $20 million for COVID-19 relief, which is incredible.
What was the, you know what the ratings were, right? What were the ratings?
Yes. So thank you, Darren Revell. He tweeted it out. He said last night, the event drew in an average of 5.8 million viewers, which is a record for a golf event on cable.
Wow.
And just to put it in perspective, the last dance episodes averaged 5.6 million viewers. So 5.6 for the last dance, 5.8. for the match two last night.
That's impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very happy for golf, and I think I'm a golf fan now. get more like this, mic everybody up.
But let me ask you, Alex, let me ask you, because obviously you're a football fan. You just said you're an Eagles fan. Were you intrigued? And now you're saying you're a fan based on the way it was covered, or do you think that a portion of that is because you wouldn't have watched if Tom Brady and Peyton Manning weren't teeing it up?
I think it's a little bit of both. You do make a good point. I think that if you didn't have the NFL kind of dipped into it, I'm not sure my attention would have been piqued. It also, again, came at a really good time. There's been no live sports on television, but also it was kind of like, I've tried golfing before. I'm god awful. And I know it's something that you have to practice and you have to take lessons, and it's, you know, a skill, but I think it was so great also for me to see Peyton hit his first shot into the woods. And I'm like, oh, this is relatable, because that's pretty much how my experience with golfing was. Like, you know, I had some really good shots, and then I had some horrendous ones.
Yeah, I tell people this all the time. Like, you know, I've been blessed in my life. Like, athleticism is genetics. Like, yes, mm-hmm. a lot of athleticism is, like, you know, making sure that, you know, you stay in good shape and you eat healthy and you get enough rest and all, you know, in order to be peak performance. But the biggest percentage of an athlete being an athlete is their genetics.
Sure.
And so I've always excelled at sports. Thank you, Mama Mimi. But golf is the most difficult sport I've ever played. And Alex, here's the thing. I think that's why I like it so much. That's why I mm-hmm. love it so much, is because it's not easy for me. It's not easy.
And you have to work at it.
I'm so competitive. I try to win at everything, and I don't always win at golf. And, you know, sometimes I pack up my clubs and I go home. Anyway, what do you have next for us?
Next up, we have Mike Tyson making a comeback. So he put out you see the videos, the crazy training videos and all that. I think there were two of them.
He looks amazing.
Right? 53 years old. God bless him. He is in insane shape.
Gina.
Insane.
here's the thing. Now he said he wants to fight again. Does he have an opponent?
This is what I saw. I saw, because Evander Holyfield said, what did he say? He's going to do the charity fight, right? Am I correct in that?
Oh, wow.
And so, for his fundraiser, and
is
Mike
Viagra
Tyson kind of like
and is Viagra and Geritol going to be the sponsors of a Mike Tyson? are you kidding?
Yeah, I don't
really?
Know.
Is that who he's going to fight? Is Holyfield?
Things that can be done for charity. In my humble opinion, I don't know if this is something to come out of retirement and do for charity. There's other ways to do it. And I mean,
listen, here's the thing though, Alex, I think I'm older than you. In fact, I know I'm older than you. I grew up, so when Mike Tyson, like in Mike Tyson's heyday, I'd graduated from college and I was back living in Miami and I was waitressing and I was bartending and I was like, I pretty much lived on South Beach. And whenever it was a great time. And whenever whenever Mike Tyson fought, it was a happening. Like that was it. The city shut down and you had to book and reserve a seat for $50 minimum at a sports bar, at any, not just a sports bar, like restaurants. Restaurants would show Mike Tyson fighting. Like it wasn't even just at sports bars and the entire city shut down. I would imagine that the entire country shut down when Mike Tyson fought. And also you weren't wagering on whether or not Mike Tyson won. You were wagering whether or not at what second in the first round Mike Tyson was going to knock him out. I mean, that's how polarizing his fights were. So, for that experience to kind of take me back, I'd pay and watch. I would pay and watch a Tyson fight at 53 years old.
So it's interesting. A lot of people were here for it. A few others, including fellow boxers, which I do have, I can't remember who it was, but said that they were worried about him getting back and doing something like that at his age. Physically and mentally, because he's in such a good place now in both physically and mentally, and he's doing motivational speaking and he's speaking better and he's obviously in such great shape. So a lot of the naysayers are kind of like, well, what is this going to do to him if he were to come back and fight? And just
like his health and well-being, his mental state?
Yeah. I get it. I mean, it's a time we live in too with all the concerns, you know, with CTE and all that. So you can't help but think about those things and have them come up when you talk about something like this.
All right,
I
think we have time for one more email.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Well, yeah, I know you already talked about Cuomo and the New York sports world, so I'm going to skip on that one. Did you watch the Lance Armstrong 30 for 30?
Okay. So I wanted to.
You did. Okay.
I wanted to. I fell asleep after the golf match. And so by the time I woke up, it was already airing. So I said to myself, you know what? I'll watch tomorrow morning. And I had a really hard time finding it because I did away with my cable provider and I'm now with YouTube TV.
Nice. I also do not have cable.
save me $200 a month in my bill. I will swear by YouTube TV. I will swear by
it. I'm about the Roku, but I'll have to check out YouTube TV.
There you go. And so, unfortunately, I couldn't find it this morning. But I do want, so again, I will date myself. When at the peak of Lance Armstrong's career and when he was participating in the Tour de France, I was addicted to it. And the only channel that would air it was the Travel Channel. And so what I would do is, and also keep in mind, it's the time change in regard to France, to watch it live was at like 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I would DVR it. I would record it and then I would watch it like the next morning or in the that following afternoon. And I found it fascinating in regard how the American team works, how like everybody is riding individually, like you're your own individual participant, but yet you are part of a USA team helping Lance Armstrong win. So part of me is like, well, why him? Why does everybody have to like cater to him? But it's just like, that's the hierarchy and that's how it worked and the strategies involved. So anyway, I share all that to say, I was a huge Lance Armstrong fan and I did not miss one Tour de France to the point where I would watch hours of him on a bike right around France.
Wow.
So I will watch this. I heard it was really, really, did you watch it?
I didn't watch it because I don't know. I'm not sure I had much interest in it just because I was kind of in that boat that was like, I know everything I need to know about this guy. But I mean, are you still a Lance Armstrong fan?
I'm really not. Individual? I'm very, I've been really turned off with the way that, you know, obviously the performance enhancing drugs and then how he handled everything. But I heard that he comes across as a real jerk.
And you know, they had to keep on there from his life. So, exactly. To fact check him. Cause you know, he wanted to tell his side of the story and they were like, well, we know how you can be. So we're going to have people from all walks of your life. Like, I mean, part of me feels bad for him. It looks like I did watch the highlights and clips and stuff. And it looks like he had kind of a harsh upbringing, you know, with like a potentially abusive stepfather. And even his stepfather's story is, you know, oh, I just drilled it into him to be the best that he could be and be a winner. And he has like that attitude about being ultra competitive and he doesn't accept anything but like a victory for me. And then Lance Armstrong is just like, no, he would beat the H-E double hockey sticks out of me. So I get it. And I feel like that is kind of an explanation for why he is the way he is a little bit. But I mean, based on the clips I saw, he has this history of just being a bully and lying and cheating, like from a young age. Like he would lie about his age to get into the triathlon. He'd want to compete. And if he wasn't old enough, he would say he was 15 or 16 or whatever it was. It wasn't. He's just, I feel like those things, you just get used to that, kind of living like that. And then you just kind of go down that hole.
Let's end on this because I read this today. The Tom Brady documentary that is scheduled to be out next May is going to be called Man in the Arena. It's going to be 9 episodes, and each episode is going to center around all 9 of Tom Brady's Super Bowl runs.
Oh, my God.
Kind of getting inside the mind of Tom Brady. It will focus on Spygate. It'll focus on Deflategate. It'll focus on his relationship with Drew Bledsoe when he took over the quarterback position in New England. It will not focus on this year and him playing for the Tampa Bay Bucs. Just FYI.
Interesting. And it's coming out a year from now?
Yeah, that's coming out in May. So just FYI. I'd add to your ENN, which was fantastic, Alex. Your preparation was off the charts.
I appreciate
your email
it.
And I was just like, whoa, girl, you got it going on.
She's extra.
So I appreciate you, and I appreciate you filling in for Peter today for ENN.